Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories that tell us something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on July 25th, 2015, at the Peace Farm in Missoula, Montana. Six storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Why I Stayed. Today's story comes to us from Brian Marsh and is titled, Give Us This Day. Thank you for listening.
I'm pleased to be with you all tonight as the testosterone donor for this evening. No, following these five women, and as Mark said, your courage and your candor and your humor and your heart, thank you for sharing, and thanks for giving me a chance to be here with you in this beautiful place. Why have I stayed? Look around. It was a short three-block walk, one chilly winter morning. I had the privilege of helping 67 musicians from Hellgate High School lug their musical instruments over to the stage entrance at Carnegie Hall. And the Hellgate High School Wind Ensemble, under the amazing direction of Leon Slater, had the opportunity of being one of six high school musical ensembles from the entire country to perform at the New York City Wind Band Festival. And my younger son, Trevor, had been a percussionist in the band for the prior 3 years. And so it was a real kick to get to experience this amazing time with him and with the whole group. And so as we were making our way up the corridors and walkways to the backstage area, I had two things on my mind. One, how many seminal performers, beginning, believe it or not, with Tchaikovsky himself, have walked these same walkways leading to this incredible stage to perform? And number two, how was I going to sneak on that stage? Because I figured this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Maybe I could pretend to help the percussionists set up their equipment like they really needed the help. I even regretted the fact that I didn't bring an old black Jack Daniels t-shirt, one size too small, some fake tattoos to try and pass as a roadie. But it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because the rules for stage etiquette and protocol at Carnegie Hall might as well be chiseled in stone like the Ten Commandments. Absolutely no one on stage except the performers and their conductor, and absolutely no photos to be taken from the stage. Now, thankfully, Matt Tipton, who is the uber cool band director at Washington Middle School, pretended to be Slater's assistant director and got on stage and got some really sweet covert pics. And one of those pictures the Missoulian used to pair with their story about the Wind Ensemble and their performance in New York. So I wished them well and headed backstage to the green room along with the other parent chaperones to listen in and watch the band as they did their sound check through closed circuit TV. And as their run-through began ringing in my ears, I also felt some mysterious mist welling up from the depths of my heart and soul and filling my eyes. It wasn't just because it was beautiful music. It wasn't just because it was an incredible setting. There were worlds colliding and converging within my psyche, within my spirit. It was only about a three-block walk on a cold, wintry morning. But in reality, it was the culmination of a 3-year journey through the longest, chilliest winter of my life. 3 years ago, that very week, I found myself very surprisingly and suddenly unemployed. My place of employment had decided to do a leadership reorganization. My family was shocked. The community in which I lived and served for almost 7 years was equally shocked. And because of the unique nature of my vocation, that of being a pastor to a Christian faith community, I didn't just lose a job. I lost my primary community. My family was impacted. These were people who I walked through the highs and lows, all the varieties and complexities of life with. It was gut-wrenching. It was gravity-shifting for me, for my family. So when my wife Kirsten and I sat our sons down, Ian and Trevor, to tell them what was going on, we already knew the first words that were going to come out of Trevor's mouth. "Does this mean we have to move?" says my freshman in high school. And right in that moment, both Kirsten and I had the immediate sense that even if we had to move heaven and earth, we were not going to move until Trevor finished high school at Hellgate, 3 years down the road. So like a lot of people in Missoula, we attempted to cobble together different sources of employment to try and make ends meet and make it possible to stay. Kirsten's a preschool teacher at Missoula Community School. She continued that and took a second job on the weekends and some weeknights. I began driving a school bus for students with special gifts, with special needs. I did some fill-in chaplaincy through hospice. I did some fill-in preaching at churches in Potomac and Deer Lodge, anywhere there was a need. And unfortunately, like a lot of people in Missoula, even when we added all that up, it didn't add up to be enough. We weren't making ends meet. It wasn't happening. And despite all the circumstances, the sense of failure within myself, the deep hidden shame just continued to eat away at me, eating me alive. Thankfully, a friend and a colleague sent me an email saying that perhaps I should look into doing transitional leadership work, that there are communities that need a leader between someone who's leaving and the next person who's coming to help that community with their transition. And so I went back east and did the week's worth of training. And while I was there, got connected to a faith community who were about to enter that transition and who needed someone to help lead them through that. They were in Northern California. But I talked to them, and they were incredibly gracious and open and welcoming and willing to work with someone like me who was in a very unique situation. They agreed to let me work with them for 2 to 3 weeks at a time in Northern Cal and then fly back to Missoula to be here for about 6 days. They had a small house that they were able to open up and allow me to live in when I was there, and that place became a haven, a place not only where I could rest my body, but where I could reflect, where I could ruminate, where I could rage when I needed to, and where I could finally start to recognize both how I was hurting, but also maybe where some of the glimmers of hope were beginning to emerge, where I could begin tentatively to find some healing. I also became an MVP for Alaska Airlines. And if you want to know the best places for food or beer at SeaTac, PDX, OAK, or SFO, come and talk to me afterwards. FaceTime became my best friend because it was the way for me to connect on a daily basis face-to-face with my family. And solo time became transformative for me, because in that space, I began to realize that each day, each moment, each interaction, each breath, each heartbeat is truly and amazingly a gift. It's a gift to be received. It's a gift to be cherished. It's a gift to be shared. Like that day 3 years hence, as I'm sitting in Carnegie Hall, watching my Trevor and his friends create musical magic, playing a piece with a title that reflected the power and beauty of gifts like these. David Maslenka's Give Us This Day. The words are historically attributed to Jesus and are part of the prayer that became known as the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. But Maslenka used that title not just feeding inspiration from those words, but also from the words of Thich Nhat Hanh, the wise and prolific Buddhist monk and activist and person who works for peace and justice in the world. Music that was meant to inspire deep mindfulness, spiritual awareness, and those two together as a means of empowerment, of awakening, and of enacting a peace that not only can transform people's lives, it can transform the world. The music starts almost silently, as if the listeners are invited in to this mindful, meditative, sacred space. And then gradually, these crescendos start happening. And the music will build for a moment, and then it returns to that sacred space, but never quite in the same way twice. And then another crescendo, and another, and then melodies, and then counter melodies and harmonies, majestic and maniacal, and then driving rhythms. And the piece just keeps building and ebbing and flowing like the worries and the wonder of the ocean of life. And it's as if with each wave that crashes, the listeners and the musicians are lifted a little bit higher and a little bit higher into a space that really is kind of indescribable and amazing. Then finally, the piece reaches an amazing climax. And that climax is a melody that Maslenka reharmonizes. And the melody is from a cantata by Johann Sebastian Bach with a German title, with the English equivalent being Our Father in Heaven. I'm completely consumed in the moment, transformed by the experience. And there's my Trevor, ignoring all classical propriety, with his arms flailing on the timpani and his head lifted towards the ceiling. And this rumbling is happening underneath our feet. And yes, I'm a Californian too, Emily. And it's like Loma Prieta and Northridge and Sylmore all combined into one. And you can feel it. And he's feeling it. And the other musicians are joining their voices of wind, breath, spirit into three incredible swells, one after the other, after the other. And we're not listening anymore. We're levitating. And I talked to several of the students afterwards, and they felt the same thing. We're transformed in this moment, in this experience. And then we jump to our feet at the end. And as I'm applauding, yelling my voice out, crying my eyes out, I'm realizing how much my Trevor has grown over those past 3 years because of all the heart and soul he's put into his different activities and work and passions, because of the amazing people who have invested themselves into his life because of the amazing experiences that he wouldn't have had if he hadn't been around to experience his full high school years in Missoula at Hellgate. And I thought about all the trials and tribulations of the most trying season of my life and how somehow mysteriously and magically they had converged along with some of those glimpses of grace and glory into the inexpressible joy that I was feeling in this moment, this place, this day. And then it dawned on me. This is why I lived and worked in two time zones for 2.5 years. This is why Kirsten gave all of herself and more to make sure our home was a place of welcome and balance and peace through it all. This is why, through all the headaches and heartaches, through all the shame and self-loathing, through all the confusion and questions, through all the anger and the apathy, through all the wallowing and wondering, through all the harrowing circumstances and hallowing cries and hoping that maybe somehow, some way, for some reason still unknown, it's been worth it. This is why we stayed in Missoula. 3 unbearable years resulting in an uncertain peace. 3 unimaginable swells converging and concluding an unbelievable peace. Creation, redemption, provision. Or maybe it's just this: accept what is, forgive what was, embrace what is to come, and love, love, love. Thanks.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Special thanks to Ryan Bundy, who provided the sound equipment for this Tell Us Something event. Learn more about Ryan and his music at RyanBundy.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, rockandrudys.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers Tracy Worley, Debbie Hirschberg, Barbara Bartmus, Emily Johnson, Stephanie Wing, and Brian Marsh. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story. TellUsSomething.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.